The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You are listening to the newly rebranded Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I've got Matt and Jeremy alongside. Kind of a special All-Star Break edition of the show. No games to really talk about. Obviously, All-Star Break's still going. Red Sox don't resume play till Friday. So I figured what we'll do is we'll kind of just do a, even though it's not the true mid-season, but it is considered midseason in the baseball schedule. We'll do a little midseason check-in. Obviously, Red Sox went on a really good stretch right before the break, so we're going to see how we're all feeling about that. We'll talk a little bit of trade deadline as well, if there's any potential guys we might want to go after, and then we'll kind of give you our prediction as to how we think second half's going to go. Is this a playoff team or not? We'll get into that towards the end of the show as well. So, Matt, I'm going to start you off. Obviously, like I said, Red Sox are really hot going into the All-Star break. Kind of sucks that it happened at that time because now you got 4 or 5 days off to kind of cool off a little bit. But how are you feeling about the team? How much have you bought back in? If you had to give me like a percentage of how much you've bought back in, where would you say you're at right now?
Yeah, I don't know where the percentage stands, but we'll just put it this way. I'm dipping my toe back in the water. I'm not ready to jump all the way back in, but you know, I'm testing the waters. I'm about ankle deep with 1 foot back in right now. I'd like to see them get back to 500 before I can really begin to commit. But look, regardless of the record right now, it's just an impressive run. And you said it. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. They typically get hot right before the All-Star break. And it's like, man, when you're winning, when you're hot and you're winning 9 in a row, the last thing you want is a day off or 4 days off. So, you know, you want to get back out there and keep it going. But like I said, it's just an impressive run no matter how you slice it. I mean, I know there was some basement teams in there with the Mets and the Angels, but hey, it's a 9-game road trip that we just swept. That's 9 in a row. I don't have us as like World Series contenders just yet, like I said, testing the waters, but I'm starting to see a path to the playoffs, right? I'm starting to see a little bit of path to the playoffs, and we're what, a half game out of the wild card. So, you know, we're definitely back in it. And we're positioned where these next 2 weeks coming out of the All-Star break before the trade deadline are really going to be pivotal, because that's going to really let us know, or the market know what, it's going to bear the market, right? Between other teams jumping in or falling off, us jumping in and falling off, the market's going to start to clear up here over these next couple weeks. But I kind of want to call out, a few things. I know we ran into the Yankees a few weeks ago, for example, when we were, you know, at the perfect time, but the Yankees, the Guardians, these are teams that lost one guy, one player, Aaron Judge, Jose Ramirez, you know, and then they just fell off a cliff. We lost our top two, top three players and have only gotten better. You know, we've only gotten stronger. They fired the coaching staff. So, again, I don't have us as World Series contenders, but they've clawed their way back in it. I really got to give the team credit for just bearing down, you know, gritting, showing some grit. Anthony Siegler coming out of nowhere, good energy. Chang at shortstop, our fifth string shortstop, whatever, just going there, getting the job done. Durbin making adjustments to turn it around. You know, we're playing good small ball, getting a lot of sacrifice hits lately, a lot of bunts down, just a lot of smart baseball plays. The defense is showing up every game, and the pitching, I mean, we can't say enough good things about the pitching right now. So I would just love to see us get a little bit healthier here. And then, yeah, I think, you know, the playoffs are definitely in line if we can start to get some arms back and maybe a story, and certainly the right move at the trade deadline. Of course, we'll get into that a little bit later.
All right. Well, a lot to unpack there. Starting, I will give you a score, Jason. My 10.0 is we just win the World Series. And my 0.0 is I'm done watching this team, and I mean it. I'm at a 3.9. It's a little bit of fool's gold with And I'm less focused on the schedule. The schedule is the schedule. I can't stand people who are like, yeah, but the schedule. Well, you got to beat the team on the schedule or beat the team in front of you on a given day and you get credit from me. So that I push to the side. Where the fool's gold is they're winning with AAA and 4A players that are fighting and scrapping just to stay in the big leagues. It's not sustainable. The talent level of the Boston Red Sox roster has actually gotten worse, as Matt has suggested, not just with the top one or two, Crochet, Anthony, but it's been decimated. We just lost Ranger Suarez to a DL, Connolly early to an elbow, all in the last week. We kept winning. We got some guy that comes up who hasn't thrown more than 2 1/3 and gives you 4 1/3. It's like, I like Siegler. I like Chang. Chang's not a big league player, all right? And he has been a positive. But if he's still your shortstop in September and October, you're not being taken seriously as a contender. So the fool's gold is these guys are – what's the phrase? Water's going to find its level here, and it's going to even out, and Chang's not going to hit. And it looks like he can play some defense. And I'm not going to go through every single person, Durbin and Siegler, and now I think Eaton got sent down. And so it's just – they're still not talented. They're fun to watch now. A month ago, my God, watching this team was like terrible. But they're at least you turn it on and they got guys who care, guys who do the little extra things. You mentioned, Matt, the bunt, 6 straight bunts in a game since first time since 1977. So not in my lifetime. Guys going full speed on a 90 to first base, you know. Wilson Contreras comes out, and I think the biggest story of this week is easily Wilson Contreras saying, I'm paraphrasing, but these AAA guys will listen. They'll listen to coaching. They'll listen to veteran. They play hard. That kind of ties into my fool's gold thing. At some point, something bad could happen, like Story could come back or Meyer could say that he's healthy. I think Story needs to be a guy you go on along, you know, even go Portland or Worcester and really extend him and show that he's ready to produce before you bring him back. And Meyer, I'd probably send him to Worcester. And you know, you just can't count. Even if he does come back, he's never finished a pro season healthy. So you just can't count on some of these guys that are even coming back. I am ready for the post-deadline comment from Breslow that, well, I know we didn't make any trades, but we're getting Roman Anthony back, and it's all BS. I don't trust that the roster is going to be bolstered here by Breslow. And the reason why I don't is because he hasn't already done it. In light of all these injuries, in light of his job being talked about just about every day of the season, especially since Cora was fired, he hasn't gone out and done anything to improve the roster. He's just getting lucky, pulling guys from the minors that are scratching and crawling to stay here and finding success, which I've already touched on. So going back to my rating, I'm a 3.9. Could they potentially get the last wild card? I do think it's in the cards just because they're pitching so good, especially if they can get some guys back. But I don't expect them to add an impact bat. And for that reason, talk of this team being a World Series contender will not come out of my mouth this season. It will not happen. They do not have the talent to be taken seriously. And even if their pitching somehow advances them a round or two, they're going to get absolutely slapped by a team that can hit. So, you know, they're fun to watch. And here's the last thing I'll say. 10 days ago, I didn't think I was going to have a baseball season in the heart of summer with the World Cup ending and football doesn't start, you know, and camp opens, but, you know, no meaningful games still for 6 to 8 weeks. And I am optimistic that we're going to have meaningful baseball games through July and into August to get us to football season. And for that, I'm thankful for that this team figured it out even a little bit.
Yeah, I think if I were to use your scale out of 10, I'm probably hovering around a 4.5. I don't want to go past the 5 mark just yet, but yeah, they've got my attention for sure. I mean, there was definitely a point where they were just a brutal watch and it just wasn't worth it because you knew what the outcome was going to be. They're going to lose 3-1 because they're going to pitch great, but the offense won't do anything. So, you know, at least they've kind of reversed that trend a little bit, but I'm with you, Jeremy. I think at some point there's going to be the regression to the mean for a lot of these guys, especially a guy like Siegler, who, you know, was a high pick 8 years ago, but there's a reason why he's been in the minor leagues for 8 years. There's a reason why the Yankees gave up on him, right? It's just eventually that's going to, you know, the luck's going to run out. And I do worry about when some guys, some particular guys start to get healthy, like Trevor Story, like Marcella Meyer, because it does feel like the clubhouse has a much better vibe ever since they told Anthony and Meyer, go to Fort Myers, like go away, get away from this team, get away from each other. Like it's just, it wasn't working. And for Wilson Contreras to kind of make those comments the other day about, yeah, we got guys in here who are really hustling and, you know, they're really putting their best foot forward. I think that tells you that there was a little bit of that going on where, you know, Meyer, when he was healthy, I mean, you know, we all complained about why won't Cora play him every day. And then he got the chance to play every day and he proved nothing. He hasn't shown anything at this level. Roman Anthony gets hurt with this mysterious finger injury. And now it's just a back and forth about, is he lying about it? Is the team lying about it? You know, you're hearing sort of these back channel reports about how him and Meyer are, you know, Meyer's a bad influence on him and they like to party more than they like to show up to the park and do their work. Like, that's a concern. It's a major concern, especially for a guy like Roman, who you already paid. Meyer, you haven't paid yet. Roman, you gave him the big contract. So did he get his money and go, okay, well, I could show up at the ballpark at 8 a.m. with the guys and stretch, but you know what? Let me hit that snooze. I'll show up at like 9:30. I don't need to do that extra stuff. I mean, that's something that they're really going to have to think about. So all that being said, look, it was a great run they went on before the All-Star break, but looking ahead, I mean, you got Tampa this weekend, and I think it's for four because I think Friday's a doubleheader. So you got Tampa for four games. Now, who knows if Caminero's going to be active for those games because he got hit by a pitch in the All-Star game, which has got to piss off so many Rays fans. But, you know,
all seven of them.
Yeah, all seven of them. Right, exactly. Yeah. But whether he's in there or not, I mean, that's the team you're chasing. If you want to make this real, that's the team at the top of your division that you're chasing right now. If they come back, especially at Fenway where they've struggled and they lose three or four, or God forbid they get swept, well, then you're right back to where you were. I mean, so they can easily undo all the work they did with that nine-game road trip. So I just think it's not sustainable. This offense is not sustainable. The pitching is, but as you pointed out, Jeremy, like you lost, you know, you're probably going to lose. You lost Suarez, you lost early. Who knows with Peyton Tolley? I mean, he's thrown more innings than he ever has in his career. Jake Bennett now is having to do the same thing. We have no idea how close or far away Garrett Crochet is. Sonny Gray is on the trade block, whether people want to believe that or not. But, you know, this whole idea of, well, now they're going to keep Sonny Gray, that's going to be really hard to do given some of the phone calls they're going to get. So I just think eventually this team's going to be hit with a reality check. And it could come this weekend against the Rays where they say, you know what? Could come Friday. That doubleheader, they could get smacked around. And they go, okay, you know what? That was a nice little run. It was fun going into the All-Star break, but we've got to really do the smart thing, especially with the trade deadline, you know, a week and a half away. We've got to do what's best for the team here. We can't just hold on to these guys that might get us a really good return just because we might sneak into the wild card and lose in the first round or something. It's, I think reality is going to hit them pretty hard pretty soon.
Yeah, I just want to touch on the Meyer Anthony thing. I think the handling from the front office of, and I'll lump in Campbell and Teal's no longer here, but they were billed by the front office as the future of the team. Like, we keep finishing in last place, but they're coming. And then the media or whoever assigned them a nickname, Big Four, and then they moved Teal, and then it became the Big Three. Meyer's a first round bonus baby, $6.5 million. I would have paid Anthony, so that's not a problem, but as it were, he's paid. They're 21-year-old kids, and I look back to when I was 21 and I was still playing baseball in the college, but I wasn't ready to be a pro. You know, I wanted to go out drinking with the boys and stay out too late. And it's different if you're a 21-year-old in a clubhouse with 30-year-old men that can teach you how to be a pro, but they're clearly not getting it. And it is certainly their fault, but I place a big pile of blame on the front office, billing them to the fan base as here comes the Big Three. And they start you know, there's a video that went viral where Roman Anthony went into a laundry basket and they put jerseys over him and wheeled him to the bus so he didn't have to deal with the fans. And they were heroes in the minors. And then they get here and it's now, here's your team. We're just going to hand you a team. You're the big bat in the middle of the lineup. We're not going to take the and they're combined with the fact that they're 21-year-olds. And then you hear that they have to send Anthony to Florida to get away from Meyer is the implication, because they can't stop essentially chasing after girls in the seaport. That is pathetic, but it's their own fault to a certain degree. And I'm going to give you guys a second to respond to this, but like, what other organization just says 3 years before you're in the big leagues, Meyer's coming, Anthony's coming, they're going to be here. Don't mind the last place finishes, because in 2024, they'll be here and they'll be great. I mean, I don't necessarily blame two 21-year-old kids going out and partying as wealthy as they are.
Yeah, I don't understand really what's going on with the clubhouse, but it seems to be better. And just kind of those, the way the comments are lining with, you know, Contreras saying he loves being around these young kids, they're working so hard. And yeah, is it just a coincidence that as soon as Mayor and Anthony are removed from the situation, that's what's happening? But I will say this, they are doing the little things, the fundamental things, the right, the small things in baseball the right way. And I don't really think it's a surprise that the ball is starting to fall our way, right? It wasn't really bouncing our way the first half of the season, ton of injuries, ton of just weird plays, weird games. And now it's starting to fall our way a little bit. And, you know, hey, these next 2 weeks are really going to be the entire season, because if they slip a little bit and fall further back, further below 500, then there's really no point in buying at that point. And you'll probably sell off some assets, and we know how the second half's going to be. If they do play a little better, find themselves within a wild card spot, and Craig, you know, grows a pair and actually pulls the trigger on a trade, now we can have a different discussion and our expectations may shift. But until then, I mean, man, the way the roster is constructed, that's not the way it's going to go down. But
yeah, pertaining to the Anthony Meyer stuff, Alex Cora must be laughing his head off down in Puerto Rico right now. Because remember when he had that interview with Ken Rosenthal early in the season, Red Sox were really struggling, and there's that quote about, well, it's different when you're managing a roster with a lot of young kids who have been basically, he didn't say these exact words, but something along the lines of they've been promised these roster spots and they get their contracts early. And so, you know, no one's really grinding for it anymore. And Cora got killed for those comments by all the Anthony apologists, all the Meyer apologists, said, oh, this is why Alex Cora's got to go. He hates the young kids. And this is why he's not playing Meyer every day. Could it be that Cora saw through their BS? Could it be that Cora saw these guys show up to the ballpark hungover on a Wednesday because they were at the seaport or out in the North End, God knows where, partying too much? And he just looked at him and go, you guys don't get it. You do not effing get it. And he probably can't do much. He couldn't do much with Roman because Roman got his money. So, you know, okay, got to play him. But he probably looked at a guy like Meyer and went, dude, you're a first-round pick. That was 4 years ago. And you finally have a chance to crack the roster, and you're going to goof off and do crap like this? Like, I think Cora saw through all of it. And unfortunately now, you got rid of him. You got rid of all the adults in the room. And you brought in Chad Tracy and his staff. Look, I like Chad Tracy. I'm sure he's a nice guy. But he kind of reminds you of like just an elementary school teacher. Like, I don't see him being like a real hard ass on a guy like Meyer or Anthony, especially because he's been their manager for how many years now? So Tracy has a soft spot for guys like that. So he's not going to crack down on them. This is his first chance to be a big league manager. He's not going to cause a rift with those guys. So they got rid of all the adults in the room, and then Anthony and Meyer just kept doing whatever it is they want to do. So yeah, I think it's a huge factor. And whoever the next manager is, obviously, I don't think it's going to be Tracy long term. I just don't. Whoever it is, it's got to be someone that can see through the BS like that and looks at these young kids and go, I don't care that you got your money, or I don't care that you were this promised, you know, next generation. Like, you're going to work the same way everyone else is going to work if you want to be in the lineup. And Jeremy, you're right to point out the organization. They were definitely a culprit in terms of, you know, inflating these guys' egos a little bit too much. Remember that embarrassing Jeff Passan article about, this is after Teal was gone. It was about Meyer, Anthony, and Campbell, and how the Red Sox are revolutionized hitting for young players. And it was all about how these three guys were going to, they're going to take over Fenway and they're going to be the next big three hitters in Red Sox history. Like, that was the organization, you know, pushing that out and putting that in these kids' heads. Like, it was absolutely ridiculous. So they absolutely play a part in that. And at this point, you just have to hope that, you know, the message is being sent to guys like Roman and Marcelo. I mean, certainly Roman, I wouldn't want to be in Fort Myers in the middle of July right now. So hopefully that sends a message to him to like, hey, wake up. You want to get back to, you know, Boston, get back to the big leagues, get your head out of your ass and start doing what you need to do. But we'll see. Yeah. Time will tell.
I mean, there's three things I want to hit on. First of all, I think Chad Tracy's done a wonderful job. He already had a bad roster that's only gotten worse since he got here, and yet they're winning. And so to get this thing back on the rails right before the All-Star break is tremendous. He's doing a great job. Wilson Contreras saying that he is not going to waive his no trade clause, saying that he loves it here. He's found his family. That to me is an indication that Chad Tracy's running a clubhouse that people want to go to, people want to play for each other. And those sorts of things are typically a direct relation to the leader in the clubhouse, which if should be a player and the manager. We don't know who the leader is from the roster standpoint, but we know Chad Tracy's running the ship, and his ability to mix and match personnel that are sometimes changing on a nightly basis with injuries and call-ups and everything, you got to give him credit. And look, I'm a core guy. I think he's a top five manager. I do think he was, you hit on it. You know, he got lambasted for those, especially the Meyer comments. Like, who else is going to play if it's not Meyer? Well, he's like, he's not automatically going to get the spot. Like, he, and I remember the quote, and he was talking about, like, he has to stop striking out so much. He's got to hit against lefties. And I even thought, because I've been spoon-fed from the front office, that, yeah, of course Meyer's going to get the job. I was wrong. Like, he didn't deserve to play, and that clearly showed. He's not prepared. He's not a professional. He's not acting like one. The other thing that I want to touch on just briefly is, Matt, you mentioned in passing, if they start winning, they have to buy, or if they hit a skid, then they have to lose. I can't tell you how much I disagree with that. There should have already been a major move, in my opinion, and they should use this weekend to make a major move, to improve the club. All right, and it makes no sense why he wouldn't, because he's literally managing the roster to save his job. And maybe he's got a reprieve with the 14 out of 16 and the 9 in a row. But if they come out and get swept by the Rays and finish this 10-game homestand 2-8, guess what? He's just as bad as he was a week ago. The thing I loved about Dombrowski and the thing I loved about Epstein, besides the fact that they each delivered a championship, is when they felt they need to plug a hole, they went and plugged the hole when it needed to be filled. This coward, Breslow, is so... that can't get his mind out of the data. Well, the spreadsheet says this, and this says this, and the data is this, and it's not efficient during the thing. Well, first of all, you just had 5 days with no games. What's not efficient about picking up the phone over the All-Star break and making a deal? It's happened in years past, not just with the Red Sox, but across Major League Baseball. You want efficiency? Use the goddamn All-Star break. If I hear efficiency or some bullshit why they don't make a major move now, then he deserves to be fired even more than I thought he deserved to be fired 10 days ago. So I don't need to have the next week play out to know that they have earned the right for the front office to give a shit and add somebody to the roster. And I don't need to wait for a skid. So what that means, and my Breslow translator, is they need more data. Bleep the data. Go get a player. If you give a shit, if you care about what the city thinks about your team and you care about what the dugout thinks about your commitment to winning, they should have already made a move. I'm not yelling at you, Matt. You just brought it up, and then I got pissed at the front office again, and then I kind of raised my voice. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. No worries. I think you kind of hit it, right? I feel like Craig has to buy almost no matter what. He's fighting for his job. You know what I mean? And the longer you wait, the closer you get to the deadline. These things only get more expensive. We'll get into some potential trade ideas later, but I agree. And the problem I have with it is his track record at the trade deadline year after year is always underwhelming. We're always primed and ready in the same type of position where man, one or two of the right moves could really change the dynamic of this team and send us on a skid in the right direction, right? But he always comes down with just, you know, again, just this, you know, moving a nickel for five pennies. It's like we're not really getting anything done there. But that's the only reason I think now the noise has been so loud. They actually went on a run. I think now is he has to do it. It's still kind of a Hail Mary, in my opinion, because, you know, yeah, they've climbed themselves out of the hole. They're not all the way out of it just yet. But this is the right time to be trending in the right direction to potentially unload some ammunition or some bullets from the farm system or get creative with a Sonny Gray. I really think the right move is going to have to require some sort of three-team deal, which is probably way above his head. But in general, I think the premise is his ass is on the line, and we all know it. I guess I owe some money to the swear jar. But I actually want to just touch on Cora for a second. Look, the maturity levels of Anthony and Mayer could certainly be discussed at length, and as with any 21-year-old player, 23-year-old player, but I don't think there's much more of a player's manager than Cora was. I mean, this is the same guy that told us every year, no one works harder than Devers. Devers works hard on his defense, and every year he came back fatter and worse on defense. So I'm not going to sit back and take Cora's word for anything. I think those comments around Mayer earlier in the season was more about his performance. I mean, he really hasn't shown at the plate that he's been a big league hitter really at any point these last couple of years. And through, you know, injuries and you got to, you know, poop or get off the pot type of thing at that age and find out what you're made of. So I think that was more in line with his actual skill set than his maybe demeanor or, you know, maturity level. But it's probably all bundled in one. Cora definitely had some sort of issues with him. But I don't think there's many more managers who catered to players more than Alex Cora. So I'm not sure if I'm buying that one.
No, absolutely. That's a fair point. I mean, Cora has kind of talked out of both sides at times, right? And, you know, sometimes we just sort of blindly took his word for it because of 2018 and, you know, his overall record. But I think towards the end, you could see the cracks starting to form there with Cora as well. You both mentioned trades. Obviously, trade deadline's the next big milestone coming up in the MLB calendar. It's only a couple weeks away. Jeremy, it sounds like you want them to be buyers. You want them to make a move pretty soon. So do you guys have any deals in mind? I know, Matt, you said you had something in mind. So I guess we'll start with you. Like, is there any player that you've identified or any sort of trade you've identified where you say, this makes sense, go do it now kind of thing?
Yeah, there's a few that come to mind. Some that make sense. Some I think are just kind of fun and worth chatting about. And I wouldn't be surprised. And realistically, probably none of these will happen because we're dealing with Mr. Craig Breslow. I mentioned Chang earlier as more of a foreshadowing for shortstop being one of those holes that we actually have to fill. I personally think if our shortstop down the stretch or for the second half, for the majority of the second half, is Chang, Mayer, or Story, or the combination of the three, this team's not really going anywhere. So I said it early on in the season, Zach Neto is a good fit. It seems like the Angels have a high asking price for him, but they're in the basement. We've got prospects. They're nowhere near contending. It just makes sense. I feel like Craig could get the job done. You know, maybe you have to overpay with some prospects talents. I don't think I'm touching Bennett or Arias for that type of move, but I think you can get it done with a handful of, you know, like I said, overpay a handful of guys that are, you know, whatever, high double A, low triple A. I know we have some good talent in the league, but I like a guy like Zach Neto. And then just kind of situationally, I look at teams that are struggling that probably aren't going to find a way out. The Mets are one of them. I got to see one of those games up close and personal. And if we think we're a dumpster fire, you should go hang out by Citi Field. It's a mess. I think Bo Bichette actually really does make a lot of sense. Similar type of contract as Bregman. The Mets have been known to sign these guys at high AAV deals and then flip them for a future prospect midseason or whatever, i.e. Verlander and Scherzer. You know, they made weird moves with Nimmo for Simeon. Outside chance that maybe if we have to pay $0 on the contract, a guy like Simeon could fit just being a right-handed player, but I don't want any part of him. I just think there's, you know, potential there for, I don't know, I would move Simeon for, get me out of there. But the last one is a guy that kind of gave us a game later, late in that series on Sunday. And maybe he can help us win some games if we were to acquire him. I'm talking Frankie Lindor. The situation is this. there seems to be some friction between him and Soto. That team's not going anywhere. I don't love the player as he's aging into his mid-30s, but I think there's some situations where we can either offload some team, some contracts that are unfriendly to us, have Uncle Stevie Cohen eat some of that money. You know, maybe you don't even have to touch money or prospects, but maybe the level of issues there with Lindor and them are that high that you could bring him in. And then I just think a guy that makes some sense, ironically, was part of that Chapman deal, another former Yankee. That's the last thing this team needs. But Gleyber Torres, one-year deal with the Tigers. I think you could probably find him for something. And that's just the type of low bar move. I see your face, Jeremy. But that's the type of low bar move that Breslow will make, right? He's not going to – like a guy like – I said it in the chat. There's no multi, there's no multi-time all-star that Craig's going to bring in to save this day at the second half of the year. So that's just the fact of the matter. But I think there's a lot of teams that would unload some of these guys given the right situation, the right deal. We're talking money in it, whether we're willing to eat money or they're willing to eat money, you know, it can tilt the ship. But ultimately, I think you're going to have to be creative with some sort of three-team deal.
Yeah, I could give two flying bleeps about John Henry's money. He should just shut up and spend if he actually gives a bleep. My Charlie's not here, so I get to say this without him getting up my backside about it. I place very little value on prospects. So everybody loves Arias. Trade him tomorrow. You put him in a package for Yordan Alvarez. You go get Bobby Witt from a really bad Kansas City team. I would back up the Greyhound bus myself to whatever prospects you want. You could fill that thing up. We're going to add in a big league player or two, depending on the caliber of the player, and drive it straight to where it needs to go, which is the airport. I cannot stand this overvaluation of prospects who have proven absolutely nothing when we're talking about acquiring a big league pet player with big league pedigree. So I don't care if Arias goes to Kansas City and becomes a six-time All-Star. Tough. You miss sometimes. Sometimes the player is actually a good player. Sometimes the prospect becomes, you know, whatever, Bobby Witt Jr. or Yordan, whatever. Go get the proven talent. I will say this until they put me in a box. I don't place value on prospects like Tyler Milliken and some of these other people that when, especially when it's going bad, it's all prospect talk. I roll my eyes. I don't read the tweet. So I personally think, Matt, you're aiming low. Now, I know what you're doing, which is you're applying the Breslow factor and that he's a coward piece of bleep. So I think you're right, but it's not what I would do. What I would do is you just, whatever prospects, add in Duran, add in Yoshida, if you're going to take a big contract like Bobby Witt Jr., I think 11-year contract. And I would go get somebody that's on that level. You know, we haven't replaced Manny Ramirez, the David Ortiz, Mookie Betts, that key figure in the middle of the lineup that was built on the backs of multiple championships. They've never made the effort to go replace that because Roman Anthony was going to do that because he was going to come up and be the answer. We don't have to bother with that. We don't have to spend the money. Wrong. You do. So go do it. I would aim much higher. And if Breslow wants to save his job and get this team in the playoffs this year, it frankly should already be done. The only thing working against that coward is that there's so many teams that can delude themselves into thinking that they're still in it because the American League blows.
Just for the record, if we're talking Alvarez or Witt or anybody that caliber, I'm absolutely unloading Arias, Anthony, Bennett, you know, all three in one of those packages. But a guy like Neto, Bichette, I don't think is worth that type of prospect capital, however you want to weigh that. But yeah, I would unload the farm system for Witt. I would, you know, they could take Polar Park. They could take the entire Woo Sox. It's all good. Yeah, I would do anything for Bobby Witt, you know, college funds, you name it. What do you need, John?
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, no, I'm with you guys on Bobby Witt. I mean, that would be just the perfect fit for this team. You've needed to fill the shortstop position with someone legitimate for a while now because you tried it with Trevor Story, and then, you know, he basically sat out half his contract with injuries, and now he's an aging guy. And, you know, he had a very good year last year, but got hurt once again this year. I'm sure he's going to come back and not exactly be the same guy. He's a strikeout machine. Bobby Witt is a five-tool future Hall of Famer. So, yeah, I'm with you guys. Like, if Kansas City is all of a sudden saying, you know what, we're going to make him available, yeah, it's going to take a king's ransom, fine. You know what, you've got to give up early Arias, Anthony, you know, a package like that, do it. Because Bobby Witt is a proven superstar, right? It's it, you're not trading for a lottery ticket. Arias is a lottery ticket. Yeah, he might be a future stud. As Jeremy said, he might go to Kansas City and be a 10-time All-Star, but he also might not be, right? Anthony.
The odds are that he won't be.
Exactly. Yeah, it's more likely that he won't be. Roman Anthony, you know, again, pedigree looked really good. That, you know, those 70 games when he came up, he looked like the real deal. But now injury concerns, potential attitude concerns, like now that's kind of going backwards. Yep. So all these prospects, they're just lottery tickets. And there's been so many guys that have come through the Red Sox system. I mean, remember when we traded for Craig Kimbrell and everyone said, oh, my God, I can't believe you gave up Anderson Espinosa. You are going to regret that. Oh, my God. Like this 18-year-old pitching prospect, how could you do that? He's out of baseball. He never made it. And he's on a long list of guys who have come through organizations who had all this promise and never made it. I'm with you guys. Trade for the proven superstar. Now, to bring it back to a more realistic level, because I don't think the Red Sox would ever do something like that, but target guys who are proven. And this one's going to, like, the guy that I have in mind, a lot of people probably hate. I think people are so split down the middle on this player. You either love him or you hate him. I think you get him for a song from the Giants. I'd get Luis Arraez to be your second baseman. All the guy does is hit and get on base. And oh, by the way, he's having the best defensive season of his career right now, playing second base with the Giants. And that's why he said the other day, I'm not switching positions. Because when he was in Minnesota, they tried to put him at first base. I think there was another place he went. I think it was San Diego, tried to toy with him being like in the outfield at one point. He's playing great second base right now for the Giants. All the guy does is hit. He just hits. He's not the fastest. He's not going to hit home runs. But you know what? This team doesn't hit home runs anyway, so who cares? But he's the perfect guy. He can slide right into that leadoff role. You know, he's the guy that you wanted Jaron Duran to be. He's just a little bit less powerful. And he's on a one-year contract. He's still under 30 years old, and he's got three batting titles. Like, you don't have a second baseman right now. You don't even have a second baseman of the future waiting in the wings, unless you think Mikey Romero is going to be that guy. But again, he might just be another one of these, you know, prospects that, oh, it looks really good and then isn't going to be able to cut it. So I think a guy like Arraez just, he brings a lot to your lineup, especially an offense like this where you're not a power-hitting team. But you're a team that if you can get on base and get guys moving, kind of do like the what I like to call the conveyor belt type of offense, he's the perfect guy to set the table for that. So I think he'd be a good guy to target. Matt, I hear you about Zach Nato. That's a young Trevor Story. Like, I like the kid too, but he strikes out a ton. I think he still leads the American League in strikeouts right now. I'm not sure. I know at one point he did, but he's a strikeout machine.
Story was good when he was younger, by the way. Just, yeah, you know, imagine having prime Story. We're talking a different, but I'll let you finish. But yeah.
Yeah, no, he was. It's true. And Bo Bichette, yeah, I just feel like that's another guy you're going to give up, you know, what, assets for rentals and he's going to opt out. I mean, granted, it depends on what happens with the, you know, strike and everything. But, you know, so I worry about that. Lindor, I like the idea, but this is kind of the second team he's like had issues with, right? Because part of the reason why Cleveland got rid of him in the first place is because he didn't like the vibe there. He was, I don't know, he was starting to cause some trouble behind the scenes. So they shipped him up to New York because he wanted to be a star. Now he can't get along with Juan Soto. Like, and that could be a Juan Soto thing. It certainly, you know, would not shock me. But I worry about Lindor as a personality. Like, is he the right guy for Boston? I'm not sure because he's trying to cut it in, you know, the baby half of New York and he can't even do that. So a guy like that concerns me too. I think just guys like Arraez make sense. Again, guys on like either close to or expiring contracts, because that's what this team is most likely going to go after. The bigger stars, like, you know, I heard the radio guys talking about Byron Buxton. I'm all set on that. Don't go get a Byron Buxton. Like, he's going to get here and break his elbow as soon as he steps onto Fenway soil. So I think those kind of moves make sense for right now. It's low risk, high reward. You know, Arraez could come here and be a real catalyst for your offense, and you're not giving up a huge part of your farm system to get him, because he's on an expiring deal. You can probably trade like one of your low-level minor league pitchers for him, and he might be huge. So I think that's the kind of move I'd like to see him make.
I like Arias, actually. Nice little ball player for sure. A couple batting titles. I didn't realize he's only 29. But, yeah, the way that we get traffic on the base pass but can't knock them in, he could be the guy to just get you that base knock with two outs and runners in scoring position that, you know, changes the outcome of a game. I think I actually commented that I like him over IKF, and we did have the opportunity to get him, but we went IKF. We need a little right-handed utility guy. But I don't think Buxton's going anywhere. To the Twins, he just loves Minnesota for some reason. They talk about him every trade deadline. It's tough, but you're right. It's probably going to be something underwhelming like an Arias, but it's going to take more than a bat, actually, I think. I think we do need a bullpen arm as well down the stretch. If we're going to be trying to – we're going to have to play, you know, plus 600 baseball the rest of the way to really solidify a position in the playoffs, right? So that's going to require some more bullpen depth. You can never have enough arms out there. But I think you need a right-handed bat, hopefully an infielder, and an outfit and a relief pitcher to go with it. But I think my biggest concern is that you know, the Breslows and the Kennedys of the world are actually thinking that, hey, when we get Story back, we'll be just fine. I mean, that's my bigger concern, right? Obviously, Chang's not going to do it. I think Mayer, similar to everybody else who gets hurt on this team, isn't going to come back for a while. And we're probably looking at August at best for some of those other guys we talked about. But you get one or two of those back. Even if the move is underwhelming at the deadline, you know, at this point, it's about depth and it's about impact. So, yeah, Luis Arias would fit right in. He fits in the run prevention unit. Not sexy by any means, but I still think we need a shortstop to get it done.
So you mentioned this sort of second half, you know, outlook, playoffs, whatever. So instead of doing the we usually do a pitching matchup preview for the upcoming series, but Red Sox don't play for a couple of days. So instead of that, to wrap up the show, why don't we do this? I'm going to have you guys give me your second half outlook and then just yes or no, will the Red Sox make the playoffs? Matt, we'll start with you.
I got to go first, huh? Yeah. So, you know, like I said, the next 2 weeks are going to be telling. So I guess it comes down to that, which is not an easy stretch. We've got the Rays for four. I think Baltimore, then a quick West Coast road trip. So, man, we really got to maintain go 500 for us to even have a chance down that stretch. You know, I think Trent Tracy's been doing a good job. I say we play a notch over 500. We probably wind up about, 83 and 79. And I don't think that's good enough in this AL to get the sixth best spot. I think we finished probably seventh or eighth. I'm not sure if we hit a stride, it's going to be later, but I'll be optimistic and do say that Tracy continues to win above 500, but not by much. We're fighting for that sixth spot, which is almost irrelevant. I'll say they just miss. I want them to make it, though, for the record, but I don't think they're – so it's a long ways to go.
I think with the pitching, that's the biggest unknown because right now there's just so many injuries. I think that they will continue to fight and claw to stay in it, and I think they will – into probably late August, and then I think water's going to find its level, and they'll fall off the mat. I think they're going to be about 79 and 85, miss the playoffs. Just in line with my opening comments, this has been a lot of fun. They're plucky. They're fun to watch. They're willing to all of a sudden bunt and run hard and you know, it is a fun product to watch, but these guys are 4A players at best, half the roster or half the lineup on a given night. They don't have it, and I'm not expecting Roman Anthony or, frankly, Garrett Crochet or Meyer to come back in any meaningful fashion. And without that level of talent meeting or exceeding expectations, you're going to hit a wall as you get into the dog days of summer. So that would be my prediction. And so the answer to the last question is no, they are not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think sadly I have the same answer. I agree. I think they'll give us at least an entertaining second half. I don't think we're going to go back to the kind of baseball we saw in April and May where just after the first inning you want to turn the TV off. I think they will be a little bit better, but I'm anticipating a very quiet trade deadline from them. And I think what's going to end up happening is some of these other American League teams that are on the cusp of being good, you know, to potentially great playoff teams, they're going to make moves. they're going to be more bold than Breslow and the Red Sox, and they're going to make the moves that they need to do. So this bad American League is going to get a little bit stronger after the trade deadline. I think that's going to do the Red Sox in. So I think they'll scrap and they'll fight, but I agree. I think like a 79-83 or 80-82 kind of finish is in their future, and I don't think that's going to be good enough. So I think they will, unfortunately, miss the postseason. So again, I think an entertaining second half, but too little too late. And I think that no playoffs for the Red Sox this year. So we'll see what happens. The regular activity starts up again Friday. They got a doubleheader against the Rays. It's part of a four-game series. So the real shit happens this weekend. So we'll see how that all goes down. We'll be back on the air Sunday night, probably at some time after that game. So keep an eye out for that. And yeah, let's all enjoy the second half. Go Red Sox, and